Hi, this is Mike Williams. Thank you for joining me in this short teaching, very brief teaching, on the law of God. This is a very important subject. I want to address something that has been a matter for, goodness, the last 30 years of my teaching that God's law has been done away with. Repeatedly, pastors and ministers from virtually every denomination that I've encountered has told me that it is absolutely false to say that God's law has been done away with. They also say it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. So I'd like to address that with you just for a couple of minutes, just to show you what Paul had to say about this. Now, we know that Paul is the author of two-thirds of the New Testament and is the one writer who addressed the subject of the law and its current status after the cross, and what it did before the cross, what it was for, and what the status of the law is now. There is no other teacher in the New Testament that gives this information other than Paul. Now, you can look anywhere you want, and no one gives the detailed information that Paul does on this subject. So, as we look at this, I'm going to be reading a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's an amazing go-to chapter for the understanding of the law being done away with. Now, if you were to ask someone, especially a pastor, about the Ten Commandments, let's take that part of God's law. Seems to be the most important part, and that would be the part that they would tell you emphatically has not been done away with. We want it on our courtroom walls. We want it in our schools. People feel like that this is the standard for our way of living, and that the Ten Commandments are still in effect and between us and God, and that this is our standard. The funny thing about the Ten Commandments, especially in wanting to place them on courthouse walls, is there's only two of the ten that are in our laws in America today. And one of them is against the law, and it's murder, which is against the law. But the other one that is in our law books, bearing false witness against someone, is only against the law in a court of law. You can bear false witness against anybody unless it's done under oath. You're not going to be in trouble. So of the Ten Commandments, those written and engraved in stone, that is the thing that makes us know the ten from any other of the over 600 commandments that God has given. The thing that distinguishes them, once again, is that these were written in stone, not in ink. So as we look at this, and we see the issue of God's law being written in stone, I want to show you what Paul had to say about this issue. Paul begins in 2 Corinthians, and he is addressing this entire issue. And in verse 6, we'll start there. It's kind of hard to go through all of this, but we'll pick up at this point. Just for the sake of discussion, it says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit." Now, let me address this first. A lot of people will say that there's the letter of the New Testament, and then there is the truth of the New Testament, not the letter of the law of the New Testament. Paul, when he uses the term, not the letter, he's talking about the letter of the law, or the first five books of the Bible. He's saying not of the letter of the law, but of the new covenant. The new covenant, or the New Testament, not the Old Testament. We're not ministers of the Old Testament. We are ministers of the new, not the letter of the old, in other words, but of the Spirit. So this comparison between the two is so very clear here that one is of the Spirit, the other one is not. It's amazing that Paul made this declaration so clear that one is of the Spirit and one is not. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So this is very telling here. Paul has given us a real reason to understand whatever this letter is. Now, I may have given you the accurate interpretation of this term letter, of the letter as compared to the Spirit, and the letter as compared to the New Testament. But we'll see if that is indeed what Paul is saying here. He says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone. Now, we don't need to guess anymore. We know that Paul is speaking about God's law. God's law is the letter. God's law is the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, as Paul would reference it here. He's actually zeroing in on the Ten Commandments. Because as I told you before, there is no place the Ten Commandments were written in anything else but stone. And there's no place where any of the rest of it was written in any other way other than, as Paul states here, as in ink. For if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, was glorious. You got to understand there's a past tense to that. It was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. For the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministry of righteousness exceedeth in glory. Now, I want you to notice that the term done away with is used here. Now, what has been done away with? Well, one thing we know for sure is that which was written and engraved in stone. It has been done away with. Paul said, in fact, not only is it not the ministry of the Spirit, another comparison to ministry of the Spirit is the ministry of death. It is the letter. It's the old. It ministers death. And the thing that is opposite to those three things is the ministry of the Spirit. And Paul says that it has been completely done away. For if that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away. Now here we have this term done away used two times. If that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I like that. I'm glad that we don't have to do double talk. Now, I'm going to show you just a little bit later on what the opposite of plainness of speech is. Plainness of speech is when you are indeed taking into context this new spirit. Plainness of speech is when you are using the New Testament, not the Old. Paul said that because this has been done away with, we can use plainness of speech, and not as Moses. Instead of plainness of speech, it is compared to Moses, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now we've had two done away withs and one abolished. These are absolute terms. These are not ambiguous. They're not vague. They are very direct. And what it is talking about is stated very clearly. When Moses was the giver of the law, and Paul has stated that the glory of it has been done away with, it has been done away with, that which was written in stone. Its glory has been done away with. He says that it has also been abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. Now this is very interesting, because this veil called the law, as Paul has stated here, that which was written and engraved in stone, so we know that we're talking about the Ten Commandments, because these ten were given to Moses. Moses was the receiver of these Ten Commandments. So we are addressing exactly what Moses was given by God. And I don't know of anyone that would disagree with what God gave Moses. He gave him the Ten Commandments. All you have to do is go to the movies to find that out. You don't even have to go to church to find that out. But he says, but until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Now, Paul is speaking about after the cross. You see, the law was the power to blind people. The law was blindness. The law itself was blindness. Do you remember how that the prophets spoke and told of a time when that God would blind their eyes so that they couldn't see and stop their ears so they couldn't hear because he didn't want them to understand? Because man understanding God's plan was completely unnecessary because God's plan did not include man. You see, it's important to keep your plan secret only to those that are involved in the plan. Why in the world would God blind man to his plan? Why would God blind man? Because man was not going to be a participant in God's plan of redemption of this world. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That means freedom. And this word freedom literally means freedom from the law. This is so consistent. It is so repetitive. It's so insistent. It is incredibly descriptive of the subject. It is repeated several times. It is stated several times that it has been done away with and abolished. And here we have ministers around the planet saying that God's law has never been done away with, that it's still in effect today. Now, Paul said there is something still in effect about the law. Something is still in effect about the law. What is it? It still blinds. It still does what it was designed to do. Why can't people see this glorious gospel? Why can't people understand this free gift? If you have any justification of righteousness by doing or not doing anything, you're blinded. Paul said, I want to give up my own righteousness so I can know it all. That's Paul's testimony in Philippians chapter 2. Paul said, the key to understanding the gospel is to give up your own righteousness by the law. He is restating that right here, that this blindness that can happen comes because of embracing law for righteousness. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. You see, we're not changed into the image of Christ. We are the image of Christ. We're the very thing itself. Into the same image, gone from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is very powerful, what we are looking at here. Now, I want to go quickly before we close out this little video and show you what is the difference between plainness of speech, which comes outside of the law. What happens when you preach the law? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, you see, we have this ministry of the Spirit. If you have the ministry of the Spirit, it can have nothing to do with God's law. That's very clear here. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not. Now, if you keep this in context, you know what the God of this world is. It's self-righteousness through the law. Self-righteousness is the God of this world. We're not talking about Satan here. Satan hasn't been mentioned anywhere. The God of this world is religion. The God of this world is self-righteousness. And how does it manifest itself? Paul says it manifests itself in dishonesty, craftiness, and handling God's word deceitfully. You see, it's just deceitful to tell somebody that they can be righteous by keeping God's law, or that they can become unrighteous by breaking God's law. The power of this gospel is sure, my friends. The power of this gospel is plain. You see, I'm using plainness of speech right now. Do you know why it's plainness of speech? Because it has no self-righteousness through law whatsoever. Let the blinders come off. Let the light of the glorious gospel minister this ministry to you, as it has to me and many thousands of others around the world. Don't let the God of this world, religion, blind your eyes anymore.